good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonizing taxpayer name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
I like that tagline. Wendy, you'll be home soon, and I'll be cleaning the house starting tonight, and it'll be a four-day cleanup, maybe even give the dogs a bath because they kind of smell a little bit, and get prepared for Wendy to come home.
That'd be great, babe. And if you're going to wash the dogs, also wash all their blankets, too.
Will do. Hey, enough banter. That was fun, Wendy. Why don't we go to the news with Ogama, where you don't hear this news other than here on Native Roots Radio. It is sacred news. So go ahead, Ogama.
Hi, Animbuju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and always I bring you news on Native Roots Radio. Today, I just want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350 and Mike Rowan, certified public accountant and great tax guy. So just wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out today. Also on my list of shout outs is Winona LaDuke. Winona LaDuke was recently named to 50 over 50 Women of Impact list. And First Lady Jill Biden appeared in New York City with the featured guest celebrating Winona LaDuke and 49 other women. It was really, really exciting that Winona's received this recognition. So congratulations to you, Winona LaDuke. And also on your appearance on the Morning Joe show today, Friday, December 17th, Winona LaDuke also appeared as a guest on the Morning Joe show at NBC. You can catch that at nbc.com/morning-joe. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I know Winona is a great speaker. So really hoping to catch that maybe sometime this weekend.
Oh, I talked to her, Ogama, I talked to her, and she'll be starting to come on the show again. She's no longer boycotting the show. No, I'm just kidding. But I talked to her today, and she said she's going to start coming on once a week again. So sorry about that interrupt, but go ahead.
No, that's just great. I'm glad to hear she's going to have some time to get back on board with us, because we miss Winona on the show and the amazing insight and things that she gives us here. And a little bit of Line 3 news. NPR just put out an article yesterday updating everybody on the White Earth Nation tribal court for Manuman versus DNR. If you're not up to date with that, in August, the lawsuit was filed in the White Earth Tribal Court attempting to stop the Minnesota Department of Resources from issuing a permit to Enbridge Energy to pump water from trenches dug to lay the pipe for the Line 3 oil pipeline. White Earth said the permit violated tribal code approved in 2018 that protects wild rice and has named Wild Rice or Manuman as the plaintiff in the suit, making this part of the international movement to grant legal rights to nature. In response, the Minnesota DNR sued in federal court, challenging the tribal court jurisdiction, and the federal district judge dismissed that suit. So the agency then appealed to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals in Minnesota. The appearances happened just yesterday on December 16th, where Assistant Attorney General Oliver Larson argued on behalf of the DNR, trying to say that the water permit was issued off the reservation and the tribal court does not have jurisdiction, et cetera, and so forth. Meanwhile, the tribal nation of White Earth said that their rights were violated because the water that was drawn impacted wild rice growing on Lower Rice Lake, which is a preeminent wild rice producing lake and very vital to their economy of their tribe. And that basically it was so negatively impacted by this that it is the Department of Natural Resources that caused the damage by failing to do a proper investigation on whether or not that would be affected. So the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals in Minnesota is going to issue a ruling on this case at a later date. We do not yet have that date. As soon as I get some more information on that, I'll be sure to share that with everybody. In Line 5 news in Wisconsin, the DNR of Wisconsin is seeking public input on the draft environmental impact statement for the proposed Enbridge pipeline relocation. So the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking public review for the pipeline for Line 5, which will be constructing approximately 41 new miles of 30-inch diameter crude oil pipeline to relocate its existing Line 5 pipeline outside of tribal lands of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and therefore will abandon approximately 20 miles of existing 30-inch diameter Line 5 pipeline on the Bad River Reservation. The DNR and its consultants claim they have completed a detailed analysis of the proposed project, variatives and associated impacts, but they are required to request public comment. You can comment at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Line 5 IES comments at 101 South Webster Street, Madison, Wisconsin 53701, or send an email at dnroeeacomments@wisconsin.gov, at wi.gov, excuse me. Comments are accepted through Friday, March 4th of 2022. We'll make sure to post that information on our social media for all of you. In more local news in Minneapolis, there's an exciting project happening down by the Mississippi River and St. Anthony Falls. It's the Future River Project. Community art organizations have created and picked finalists for an augmented reality artwork piece to happen down at the St. Anthony Falls dock area. And finalists are Lady Midnight with Water Songs, Missy Whiteman and Marlena Miles with Future / Past, Flowing Out of Time, Augmented Reality Public Installation, and Jonathan Thunder with Gazebi and Toka Takia Wakpa, and they're awesome. All three of them are awesome, amazing artists, so looking forward to find out who gets to put in that art installation down there. In the North Dakota, South Dakota regions, the Endian Collective, which is an indigenous-led nonprofit, was awarded a huge sum of money by the Bush Foundation. They got $50 million. The grant is to close the racial wealth gap, according to Nick Tilson, who is Lakota and director and CEO of the collective, and said it's the largest amount of money that they've received from a single funder, and it's very unusual, but congratulations to you. Endian Collective, which is based in Rapid City, South Dakota. And congratulations. I also want to shout out to Silas Nealon. This is a little bit older, but Silas Nealon and other youth were featured for the New York Times for December 1st, 2021, with Taylan Jazz, Bella Love, and Joe Hill as youth fighting an oil pipeline in Minnesota. So shout out to you. Much love to you, Silas and family, and the youth that are out here standing for the future. We always appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
And it's Friday. Oh, excuse me. It's Friday, Robert. What do we have going on for this Friday? Our guest today is Mary Kunesh, right?
Yep. Good guess. And then we have Wendy with her sacred animal portion that I can't wait to hear.
It's a fun one.
It's fun Friday. That's right, Wendy.
That's right.
I'm excited to hear that. Again, Ogama Pinigi for the news, and a big shout out to Winona LaDuke, who has been a regular, semi-regular on the show. And again, like I said, I called her. We talked to her today. We're selling her books, her t-shirts, her patches, and things like that at the store, Native Roots Trading Post, and we have autographed copies of her book that are selling like crazy. So really excited to have her back on the show. and really excited that she's getting recognition again for the great work that she does. We really, really respect Winona LaDuke and honor the earth here on Native Roots Radio. So we'll be right back after this short break with State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bonjour relatives, my name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are always blessed on Fridays, whether it's a holiday or the state senator is with her grandbaby. We're always glad to see state senator. Oh, there he is. There she is. To spend time with us here on Native Roots Radio and the blessed baby there. And just great to see you, Mary. And thank you so much for stopping in. Always good to see you.
Hey, how are you, everybody? Good to be here tonight.
Right on. Well, we're going to be celebrating soon. Wendy should be home Monday night. I'll be picking her up at the airport. But that's the good news. The bad news is I really have to start cleaning the house right after the show. Just start right away. Oh.
It's always interesting to see what you come home to, right?
It sure is.
Right,
Mary.
Wendy?
It sure is, Mary. Can you just lift her up just a tad so I can see her? And then can you... How old is she?
This is my little first granddaughter, Rita Jeanne d'Arc Dubé, and she's about 2.5 months old now.
Cute.
And Fridays are my day to hang out with her. So we've had a fun day today. I think I've gone through 3 clothing changes.
Well, Wendy's in, Wendy's in New York with our niece's baby. Time, and that's why Wen's there. So both you guys will probably be exhausted today because you're watching the little babies.
Yeah, but it's all worth it, that's for sure. Next generation, right?
Yep, exactly. And then Speaking of that, Ogama's with child too, so she's staring at the baby going, oh no, not again.
Ogama, remind me your due date.
My due date is March 9th, but I'm told that they won't let me go past the 15th. So if baby decides to come a little bit late, she'll still for sure be here by the 15th. I'm having a little girl, which will be my second little girl. So you'll be seeing her adorable face on Native Roots Radio. If you watch us on live, you might hear her a little bit here and there when I come back after having her too.
There you go. It's a girl's world out there.
Right on. 51% of the world is women, right? Isn't that what I
think? And growing, obviously.
Exactly. So, hey, what else do we got going other than baby talk? We have things happening, but maybe not happening because we're getting close to the holidays. What's going on with you, Mary?
Well, I was lucky enough earlier this week to fly out to San Diego and sit in with a group of other legislators and professionals and then youth to talk about how we can help our young adults with disability transition to the workforce and what sort of resources are needed. And there were just like a half a dozen of these young adults there that were telling us their story and where the barriers are. And they were so eloquent and they were so so passionate. I was just very, very, very impressed. And I mean, I just had these great conversations with them. And we went and visited a few places in the city that work with kids and getting them into professions and training that's necessary. You know, you think back a couple generations when anybody with disabilities were sort of tucked away in the back room, or, you know, they kept them out on the farm and they had a repetitive job that they did every day, all day long. And now many of these kids, whether they have physical or mental disabilities, are I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say capable because it's more than that, but they are just so eager to be part of our mainstream society and have the same aspirations that every one of us do. And it's amazing how they have learned to overcome them, whether they're in a wheelchair or, you know, they have some of the different syndromes that are out there. So that was really, really inspiring to me. And then I came home this week and received an invitation to attend the Dakota 38+2 event on the 26th. You all know about that, don't you?
I'll be there this year. And then I on the 25th, there's a run from Fort Snelling to Mankato that starts around midnight, I think. I've made that through the last few years.
Yeah, so the folks that on the radio from far out and who aren't familiar, the Dakota 38 are the 38+2 Dakota men that were hanged the day after Christmas back in 1862, and it was under the order of President Abraham Lincoln, and that was in retaliation. The convictions were the result of the U.S. Dakota War of 1860, place in southwest Minnesota. And if you know anything about the history of that, the conflict really started due to the fact that the supplies that were supposed to go to the tribes were not being allocated. They were in the storehouses, but the agents who were supposed to distribute those supplies, I mean, it was blankets and food and all the things that they needed to get through the winter. Remember, these natives had been pushed out into the middle of the prairie. They had very little as far as a place to live in or anything like that. There's no wood out there. So it was terrible. They were freezing out there. They were starving out there. And a skirmish happened between the whites and the Native Americans, and it got worse and worse and worse. And it turned out that a couple of the Dakota men were credited or were accused of killing five settlers, and that just erupted, kind of like what we've seen recently in Minneapolis, into a full blown war. There was at one point when one of the agents spoke to the main agent and said, "You have to give these people, you know, their food and their supplies. They're starving. They're freezing." And that agent said, "You know, he didn't care. He said, let them eat grass." Yep. And so, as a result, these 38 plus two men were hung. There were supposed to be more, but they narrowed it down. And so this every 26th of December, I'm trying to think of, I don't know if you remember when it first started.
It's been going on a long time.
Yeah. So then there's a horse and there's a march from, I forget, is it Mankato? It's not Mankato. It starts somewhere else, doesn't it?
It started, matter of fact, Winona LaDuke started it off last week in, I believe, Ogama, South Dakota, we reported that she started.
Yeah, I think it comes out of Cannonball. I could be wrong. That's where my family is. I have to check my source on that one. Don't quote me, everybody. I think it comes out of Standing Rock, though.
One thing about that store owner, too, that said, let them eat grass. He was found dead with grass shoved in his mouth. I just wanted to bring that up, too.
Wow.
That was pretty
those riders trace the path. I think it's about 330 miles from the Lower Brule. That's where it is, the Lower Brule, South Dakota, to Mankato, Minnesota. And they arrive at the hanging site on the anniversary of the execution. And so it's to commemorate them and remind folks of the injustices that, you know, it wasn't so long ago, a generation or two, and there's plenty of ancestors of those men who live today and commemorate them.
Every year we have a recording now of Jerry Deerling saying everyone's name in Lakota, Dakota, their language of who was hung. One thing, too, if you are an Abraham Lincoln fan, you could probably hold on to the part where there was probably, I think there were over 450 people they were originally going to hang, and he put it down to 38 plus two. But still, that's the largest mass hanging in United States government history. So
yeah,
we didn't fare well either way you look at it.
Yeah. So I'll be excited. That's the first time I'll be down there. I don't have a horse to ride in on, though I think my sister could probably find me a couple. That was a good part of it. And then today, earlier, I don't know if you talked about the trial for Dante Wright and the officer, the ex-officer Kim Potter, who shot this young man who's just 20 years old. And so that was today, too. I watched a little bit of that. It was pretty hard to watch.
Why don't we talk a little bit about that now that the baby's mama just grabbed the baby, and we can talk a little more. Can you hold on to another segment, Mary?
You bet.
All right, awesome. We're with State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, and we'll be right back after this short break. Wendy?
Stay with us.
I want to say, we got 20 seconds. Let's talk for a second here. So how are things going? How's the weather in New York, Wendy?
Weather's great today. It was almost 60 degrees today.
Oh, that's global warming. That's not good.
She's going to sleep have a jacket tonight.
On. So. Oh, that's still not good. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jayselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, Don from Wisco Home Goods here. Jeremy and I handcraft our 100% non-toxic candles from locally sourced materials in our Madison, Wisconsin facility. Wisco Home Goods candles come in a variety of unique blends and scents that you're sure to love. Add a little warmth to your home as the days get colder with one of our Midnight Cypress or Up North candles. Order at WiscoHomeGoods.com. Natural, healthy, nourishing candles and more at WiscoHomeGoods.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy overnight and a low of 19, then a chance of snow on Saturday with a high of 23. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant. Now open daily from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with their full menu available until midnight. Check them out today at nightingalempls.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and that always gives me a chuckle. And I'm your
host, gosh, yes,
Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we've been talking to Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish here, and one of the things we were just talking about at the very end of that last segment was the trial today. And I suppose, Mary, you could be our reporter, and you want to fill us in what happened today, or were you just do you mind?
No, I'm happy to sort of review it a little bit. So today was there's a hearing going on to address the murder, the shooting of a young man here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Actually, he's from Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. It's one of the first ring suburbs out of Minneapolis. A 20-year-old man was stopped during a traffic stop on April 11th and ended up being shot to death. And the policewoman who shot him, apparently under the stress and the pressure and the in the moment, thought she'd pulled her taser gun, because as she pointed it at him, she said, "Taser, taser, taser," and then ended up shooting him. I believe the bullet went right through his heart. And so, again, there was unrest as the result of that in Minnesota and in across the nation again. And so the police officer is on trial, and today was the hearing of her telling her side of the story. Her name is Kim Potter. She was obviously distraught. She was very apologetic for what happened. I think she, you know, and I believe her. I think she sincerely made a mistake. And unfortunately, you know, these are the kind of things that continue to happen. And when you think about, you know, what precipitated his stop was that he had an air freshener hanging from his window. And then his tabs were expired. But, you know, in this day and age of COVID also, you know, it's been hard to get in there or untimely, you know, can't get your tabs on time. And so these are the minor reasons that so many of our folks of color are being stopped. And when that happens, it seems to escalate into, you know, a situation such as Dante Wright, where the person is afraid, they don't trust the police, and perhaps act out in a way that the police escalate the situation, and then they end up being killed. And so today was the hearing and the testimony of Kim Potter, where she told her side of the story. And, you know, I felt for her. I believe she has sons. I can't imagine what it's like, but you have to remember that, you know, Dante Wright was just 20 years old, young man, had a son himself. And these sort of things have to end. They just have to stop, because I don't know how many more of these we can take.
Yeah, it definitely. And these days too, and a really good point about COVID and your tabs, because I don't think I got my license renewed or my tabs renewed during COVID. And, you know, they're supposed to now not pull over people for minor infractions because, the brown and black and minority people are the highest percentage of people being pulled over. And then, like you said, it escalated, and it's just crazy. I mean, when you were talking, all I could think of is that St. Paul Public School employee who was shot in St. Anthony Park by the fairgrounds a few years ago. And I just, when is this going to stop? And when is it going to be, you know, hopefully soon. Hopefully this is really getting out there.
Yeah. I know there's legislation here in Minnesota and across the nation to address that issue, and to you know, basically say you need to stop pulling people over for those minor reasons. And the police will, you know, sometimes say, well, you know, that's how we sometimes are able to detect other offenses, whether it's weapons or illegal drugs or anything like that. But, you know, to pull somebody over because they had a air freshener hanging from their window, you're not supposed, in Minnesota, you can't have anything hanging from your window. Well, I've had stuff hanging from my window for years, and I haven't gotten stopped. So it's we've really got to do something about really sensible police reform and more of a community effort to make sure that our communities are safe.
Yeah, it's sobering, Mary, and thank you for that update. It's been hard for me to watch because of, you know, the aftermath too of of people really upset again. And we just went through George Floyd, and then this murder happened, and it was really unbelievable that during we were not even over George Floyd and this happened, and it really escalated the protest too, and it got a little crazy again.
Yeah, I went over there one day over to Brooklyn Park where they were having a press conference, and I was talking with some of the neighbors, and a lot of the neighbors had left because of all of the commotion. And it was, you know, spring morning, it was cold, it was chilly, and I looked down and there was these little round pellet things on the ground, and I bent over and picked them up, and they were rubber bullets. And I just, you know, they're about the size of a big fat, let's say a big fat blueberry, or not as big as a cherry, but they're pretty big. And if you can only imagine being hit by one of those. So, yep, we've got a lot of work to do, folks.
Yeah, in Standing Rock, too, when they were shooting people with rubber bullets, those things were like as big as a pop can. I mean, a young lady from New York lost her arm with that. Mm-hmm. And again, that was peaceful protesting. Go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, with those two, I actually have one from the time that me and my partner spent down during the riots following George Floyd's murder. And I was doing a little bit of research on them following that, and officers are actually not supposed to fire them directly at people. They're supposed to be bounced off of the ground first and then launched, and they're used as a crowd dispersal technique. So they're never supposed to be fired directly at people. And there's a lot of improper training that happens with those types of quote-unquote non-lethal police weapons that just really isn't happening. So that's another whole piece to that Minnesota needs to work on as well.
Yeah.
And how do we combat that and support you and other legislators? Is there things that you can bring back to the Capitol and talk about and bring up? I know you have capacity, but only so much capacity. And there goes baby.
You know, we did after Philando Castile, which is the young man you were referring to earlier, and then George Floyd. I'm part of the Posse Caucus in Minnesota, POCI, mm-hmm. People of Color, Indigenous, and we spent that entire summer working on a whole sort of a portfolio of legislation that we thought was really sensible, that they were the kind of things that could happen, like not stopping for minor infractions. When something like this happens, the family gets to see the tapes from the police cameras right within like 48 hours. Sometimes it can be weeks, if not months, before the family's allowed to view that the footage, and those are some of the things that, you know, using those cameras and all sorts of things. So we have here in Minnesota, the Democrats, the DFL party has been working really hard on that, but we get a lot of pushback from our Republican counterparts. And so we bring it up, we talk about it as best we can, we elevate the conversations. I myself have been going on drive-alongs with police officers and other public safety people to get a feel for, you know, their side, you know, what it looks like from their side in the car and the things that they stop for, but also to get an idea of, you know, where they're coming from as well. And, you know, our police officers have retired or quit at highest numbers that there's ever been. It's been hard to get them replaced. And I mean, I don't blame them either. It's a hard life. It's a hard job to do, but we have to find ways to work with our community members, you know, and with our local governance to do more, I feel, of a sort of a community minded peacekeeping. And that also has to incorporate a lot of things around mental health issues. here in Minnesota, and I don't know across the nation, we're having this crazy spree of carjacking. It's really kind of, it's very much out of control. My son's very best friend, it's a guy that I did daycare for when he was a little baby, walked out of his house this morning, and there were some young kids, had a gun pointed it right at his face, stole everything he had and his vehicle. And I mean, this is just walking out of the door of your house in the morning to go to work. And so there's some really serious societal issues that we really need to come together and work on. And hopefully we can do it within our communities in a way that is, you know, culturally relevant and really is going to have a positive impact on everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I just have a quick thing. Somebody here said they're grateful for Mary. Sees firsthand what's up. That's great when you're doing that. Also, too, hopefully a lot of these police that retired needed to retire. And I know when a lot of people retired in New York, that was because they wouldn't take the COVID vaccine. So maybe we don't. Maybe hopefully those are people that we don't want to be our police officers. But again, Peeny Geegee, Mary, for stopping in with your truth. And thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Wopulatanka. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact robbinskaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Peeny Geegee, and thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I was trying to go with the wolf if people are watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Hey, Wendy, sacred animal time. It's Friday, so it's fun facts. So let's take it away and see if you can stump the panel.
Yeah, I will. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. As everyone knows, I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. He goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I found a really fun article, and you know where I found it? I found it in Popular Mechanics. Don't ask me why they have an animal section in here, but they have an article. Yeah, exactly. They have an article of the 40 most extreme animals on the planet, and that these incredible creatures will do just about anything to survive. And this was written by Emily Schiffer. To cut in the animal kingdom, you have to be tough, really tough, from withstanding brutal climates to fending off ferocious predators. Surviving in the wild is no small feat, but a few cunning creatures have developed crazy traits and habits to stay in the game. Here are 40 of them. We're not going to get through all of them, but we'll just go through a few. This is funny. Snails. Snails have crazy sleep schedules. Snails are all over the map when it comes to sleep. They may nap for several hours, then stay awake for sessions of 30 hours or more. On the flip side, they have crazy hibernation periods. They can snooze for periods up to 3 years, a survival instinct that when they feel the need to self-preserve. Believe me, sometimes I want to go to sleep for 3 years.
I was going to say, that was my sleep schedule when I was in high school and partying and all that stuff.
Now that I'm retired, I have a sleep schedule like that. Owls can twist their heads 270 degrees. I think we kind of knew that. But they actually have arteries in their neck. So when they turn, it can shut off the blood flow. But they have other arteries around in their neck. So that won't ever happen to them. So that's pretty neat. Have you ever seen an African lungfish? They're like really an ugly fish. But they can survive out of water for a whole year. When an African lungfish feels that its life is threatened situation, it secretes a mucus cocoon and burrows itself up to 9 inches under the soil, where it gets air with its lungs through a built-in breathing tube that leads to the surface. It then relies on rainwater to breathe. Isn't that crazy?
That sounds like a mammal, not a fish.
That's a pretty good survival tactic if I ever saw one. Here's another one. The electric eel can transmit a shock between 600 and 800 volts. Mm. That's enough electricity to kill a horse.
Ooh.
And while it might not be enough to kill you instantly, it's enough to knock you out and leave you down and out. Another nasty note, if you're shocked by one, it burns your skin. So I have never encountered an electric eel, and I'm happy about that. A stonefish, and it actually looks like a stone on the bottom of the ocean, are the most poisonous fish in the world. Whale sharks use their 4,000 teeth to eat vegetables. All they do is they eat plankton, plants, and algae. They don't eat any other fish, but they have 4,000 teeth.
Wow.
Okay. Kangaroos can jump crazy far. Does anybody have an idea how far a kangaroo can jump in one bound? Do you have any ideas?
I'd say 30 yards.
30 yards in one bound.
Yeah.
I would say like 20 feet, or maybe like, are we going length or are we going height?
No, length. One bound.
I'd say like 20 feet.
Yeah, 27 feet.
Well, so that's close to, what did I say?
30 yards.
Oh, I meant 30 feet.
Oh, okay. 30 feet. Yards. In one bound, they accomplish this thanks to having small front legs and a long, strong tail that keeps them balanced while jumping. Mosquitoes are the most deadliest insects on the planet. They may be small, but they cause millions of deaths a year around the world, according to the World Health Organization. And in 2015 alone, there were 438,000 deaths from malaria.
Yeah.
They do cause other problems, too, besides malaria. But the mosquitoes are a very big problem. Let's see what we have here. Black mambas have super snake speed. And these are a little snake. the black mamba slithers up to 12.5 miles an hour, but hopefully you could run faster. If it catches you, you have 20 minutes to find anti-venom or else you toast.
Ma-na-na-na-na-lamba.
Is that what? The snake is responsible for an estimated 20,000 deaths a year.
Oh, geez.
That's crazy. Here's a bug. It's called the mountain stone wetas. It kind of looks like a big wasp. And they freeze themselves to remain alive. This insect is native to New Zealand, freezes itself for several months, and then thaws itself. It's the world's largest freeze-tolerant insect. It withstands freezing 80% of its body tissue. It does this to survive drastic temperature changes thanks to a protein that prevents a formation of ice crystals in its blood-like fluid.
Wow, I need that fluid because of how cold it is today. The antidote.
Dung beetles. Everybody has seen like a dung beetle, right?
A dung beetle?
Dung beetles are crazy strong. The dung beetle has been deemed the strongest insect on Earth. They're able to push balls of fresh animal poop, hence their nickname, their namesake, that weighs more than 200 times their body weight. Researchers documented one individual dung beetle that was pushing a ball that was 1,141 times its body weight, the equivalent of a 150-pound person moving a whopping 80 tons. So the dung beetle is one strong beetle.
I'll do my Ed Sullivan impersonation. Ladies and gentlemen, the dung beetles. No, okay. I guess you had to be a child of the 60s for that one. Sorry, Ogama.
Exactly. Jaguars have killer jaws. Jaguars kill their prey with one bite by piercing the skull of the neck of their prey from behind, killing it instantly. And by the way, I didn't know this, jaguars and black jaguars are the same species. A lack of markings is due to a mutation that occurs in approximately 6% of the wild population. I thought they were two different species, but I didn't know that. Hippos are insanely fast for their size. While hippos spend up to 16 hours a day submerged in water, they also take to land and have been known to be super aggressive. And for their size, they're super speedy. Don't try to outrun a hippo because you'll lose. They grow between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds and can run between 15 and 30 miles per hour.
Hey, Peeny Geegee Wendy, for the fun facts, sacred animal portion of our show. I want to thank Ogama with the news, as always, and all the background work. And State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated. You got it.